Hello, my loves. This is Lala Kent with Randall, and today we are interviewing one of the most beloved, absolutely wonderful, really handsome gentleman on Bravo. You may know him from his first or second facelift. He is really funny, very, very witty. He has been on Million Dollar Listing for over 15 years. I present to you Josh Flagg.
What up, Josh Flagg?
Josh Flagg.
Before we dive into Josh Flagg.
Yeah, all things Josh Flagg.
All things Josh Flagg.
This is going to be one of the most fun episodes ever.
I agree, because he's funny as fuck.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So it's a really special podcast for me today, because the second season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake just aired on September 12th. And it has me shaking in my motherfucking Nikes.
Mm.
Okay?
Wow.
Do you guys watch that show?
No.
Are you familiar with Jen Shah, either
Mm-mm.
of you?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Jen Shah from Utah. She is in a lot of trouble because she was running this scheme where she would call people, and mostly elderly people.
Mm.
This is what's being pinned on her. Nothing's been proven yet. Let me just put that out there.
Yeah.
And it was like a bunch of different things, like saying, oh, the IRS is contacting you for this. And these old people are like, oh my gosh. And they just give their credit card number or whatever it may be. And what she would do is other people that
this
were
is
running
on Bravo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Other
what
people,
show?
Housewives of
Real
Salt
Housewives
Lake.
Of Salt Lake season
she
two.
She loves this show.
Okay. So I'm reading all of these things. Little did I know, they had picked up cameras and caught all of this shit, okay? So how she made most of the money, again, allegedly, is that other scam artists would call her and they would pay for her call sheets. Whoever she was calling that were successful, like, give me your money for no reason. And by the way, no one ever knew what she did for a living. She had, like, this fabulous office, this fabulous life, and everyone was like, but what do you do? She could never give a straight answer.
What was her go-to answer?
There was never an answer.
I don't do anything?
Until the reunion, and she said that she runs the algorithm. So anytime you see an ad on social media, people pay her to put those ads. Like, you sell real estate, so maybe a bunch of, like, furniture places pop up onto your, you know, whatever. She obviously does not do that. So the beginning of the first episode on Sunday shows her taking a phone call, demiking. She leaves. All of the fucking sudden, the cops come flying in, helicopters
what?
Hovering above. And then they do that thing where it's like 2 months earlier. You guys, this is better than Housewives of Beverly Hills.
So she's clearly not going to be on next season.
Well, they did take her to jail. She has said that she will be doing season three. But who knows? You guys look so uninterested in what I'm saying.
No, first of all, how can you expect me over the last 100 episodes to ever be, to even know, you know I don't
have
watch
the shows.
Have
you ever seen an episode of Housewives where there have been any?
I've seen the OC. You know I've seen the OC from
where
the beginning.
Helicopters are hovering above and the freaking FBI
what?
Or whatever
wait,
up.
This is on the show?
Yes.
Oh, that's exciting.
Saying,
exciting.
We're looking for Jen Shah, and everyone's looking at each other. Even the cameramen are looking at each other.
Okay.
Producers are involved.
Did they know that they were filming or just have a coincidental timing?
What they're saying, they
yeah.
were like, how did they know Jen was here? You know, and there were two cast members that didn't show up to the cast trip. So they're like, one of these motherfuckers must have tipped them off.
But why would they still show up so they could watch? That's fun. Like, why would they not show up?
Well, it was crazy because she got the phone call and it happened 5 seconds later.
What was the phone call?
We don't know. She gets on the phone. She's like, okay, what's happening? She looks at her friend and goes, you need to take my mic off of me right now. And they're like setting up cameras. Like, the camera crew is in the
shot. I gotta see this. That's crazy. That's crazy. That's it. That's
there's a helicopter.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Why a helicopter?
Yeah, but
they're
where's
trying
she going to
catch
go?
I mean, she
out of there?
The middle of Utah.
She scammed millions of
no, but I mean
she
the helicopters.
Millions.
No, but I
of dollars from these old people.
They wouldn't allow someone like that back on the show for another season, though. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I didn't say Bravo confirmed it, but I've heard through my Bravo cult people that Jen like is like fully down to do another season.
I always wonder that.
She won't come back. They won't let her.
Because we all have skeletons in our closet, but people.
Once the helicopter comes, you're not coming back.
Yeah, the helicopter.
The helicopter, that's it.
If the FBI's walk in with the jackets on, you're done. You're not coming back.
Oh, they rolled in deep. Trust me.
Jen's last
blurring
season.
Blurring faces.
Was, yeah, Jen. No, that's Jen's last season. The Bravo's a big network with a big studio and corporate.
Oh my God. I love this. So for the first segment is Spill the Tea. We spilled the tea. Josh, thank you for an epic intro.
Yes. Now we actually have to go into your segment, Josh, and have you as our guest.
We'll be back after a quick break with Josh Flagg.
The weather is getting warmer. Summer is coming finally. And you know what that means? It's time to put all of the jackets and all the sweaters in the back of the closet and pull out all of your shorts and tees. And I know you all want some new looks for the warm summer sunshine, and you don't want to break the bank in the process. I get it. We want to ball on a budget. So do what I did and shop Quince. Now, I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking so chic year after year. Quince has premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts starting at $30. You can find silk tops, 14-karat jewelry, and so much more. All Quince items are 50 to 80% less than many similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes all of those savings on to us. I did just get myself a fabulous cashmere tee in cream. It is so soft and yummy. It's probably just as soft as the Quince waffle towels that I got for Palm Springs. We absolutely love those towels. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Lala for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Lala to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Lala.
So I have two game changers to share with you when it comes to upping your glam game. I am totally obsessed with Impress No Glue Manis and Impress Press-On False Eyelashes because I'm very into just easy right now, and anyone can do it. You are going to love them just as much as I do. Both require zero glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes. There's also no annoying dry time. And the best part, zero mess. One step and you're done. The lash style options are endless, and there are so many on-trend nails to choose from. Impress No Glue Manis and Press-On Falsies are the easiest and fastest way to upgrade your look in just minutes. The Press-On Falsies have a unique under-lash application for a totally seamless look and are made with an exclusive self-stick technology that keeps them secure for up to 24 hours. The Impress Manis have a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days secure hold, and that's perfect for all of you busy mamas out there who don't have a lot of time to spend on glam but want to look your best. I completely get it. Impress No Glue Manis and Impress No Glue Press-On Falsies are absolutely a beauty must. You need to try them right now, so get yours today at impressbeauty.com/Lala. And use code LALA at checkout for 25% off Impress Manicure and Press-On Falsies. That's impressbeauty.com/LALA and use code LALA at checkout for 25% off.
We are back.
And we have Josh Flagg. You know him from Million Dollar Listing LA.
And be honest, one of my favorite shows, Tell the Truth.
I think it's most people, like, even if you're not like down with Bravo, you're not in the Bravo cult, you tune in to watch Million Dollar Listing.
Yes, you do. And we've been doing this for 14 years.
I can't even believe that. That's insane.
And that's a long time. I cannot believe that.
Is that the longest running reality show?
I think the only other one is
Inside
OC.
The Actor's Studio may have. Oh, that's not on the air either anymore.
Yeah. But it's got to be one of the top. I mean, for sure. 14 years is...
Absolutely. Have you seen my porn, by the way?
Your porn?
Yeah, Million Dollar Fisting. It's really
I actually
good.
Only knew about Million Dollar Listing because you've been fisting for
it's
15
really
seasons,
yeah.
Right?
I just want to... Because a lot of people that have not known about my porn. I'm promoting it now.
I'm going to check it out tonight.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So as a fan of this show, I have to say, because I watch New York, and obviously Beverly Hills is the marquee for us because we live here. just take us through, like, for people that don't know reality, like, what the process is like. Because for me, I run a business like you. Like, my livelihood is not reality. My livelihood is making movies. And since I've had to kind of come on to her show a little bit, it definitely skews with my schedule, like, my business. But this, it feels like it feeds it perfectly, like being on a show and selling homes. Does it work? Or is it difficult at times? Is it frustrating? Or is it easy?
No, I'm just curious. No, it's the best synergy ever. I mean, it's like... Well, first of all, I mean, the show is amazing because, like, you think about, like, a normal real estate agent or whatever is, like, pays all this money to advertise, like, cover of the LA Times, things like that, whatever. Like, this is free advertising. Right. You can't ask for better.
Totally.
Know? It's, like, the greatest thing on earth.
It's like for you, Law. We talk about that all the time. Like, you being on the show is promotion for all your brands.
Absolutely.
No, yeah. Of course. So how long have you been a real estate agent?
Since I was 18.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
And how old,
and
are,
how old are you now? 21?
I beat you too.
He's on fire.
He is on fire.
On fire.
Okay, so you were obviously a real estate agent long before the
well,
show appeared.
It was maybe 6 to 9 months. No. I've been a broker since I was 18, and I've been on the show, though, since I was 22. 21.
Wow. Yeah. Holy shit.
Oh, my God.
I grew up on television.
Oh, my God. So that's amazing.
Because they just come to you. I know for me being on Vanderpump Rules, it's because I was a hostess, and it was based on the restaurant that I was hostessing at. With you guys, did you know the other people that are on the show? I know there's been like a...
You,
oh,
didn't,
you did
know, you knew them.
Yes.
Oh, that's... I didn't know that. Yes. I didn't know you guys all, like, you all,
well,
no, worked in...
Yeah, well, I mean, it would, like, yeah, like, firms. If you were a host in one restaurant, you wouldn't know a host in another restaurant. But
right.
If you were... Well, maybe you would, I don't know. Like, maybe, like the top hosts in town know each other, they're all buddies with each other. It's like the host crew. But, like, in real estate, of course, you know your top competitors.
Okay, so you guys all knew of each other or knew
each
other.
Keep in mind, those people are no longer on the show, though.
Who's left on the show from the original?
Nobody.
Just
myself.
You. Just
you're
you.
The only OG?
Yeah.
Wow. We got a
when,
super...
When did Josh
legit.
Altman come in?
5 years later.
But you guys, when I watch the show, despise each other. And lately I've seen on the gram that you guys are like buddies.
What, yeah, we're buddies.
So how did you go from like wanting to destroy one another? I mean, it was...
We fucked.
I knew it.
Yeah.
Okay, that settles that.
So that's how we became friends again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Was it one night or was it like over a weekend?
It was like a weekend.
Yeah.
It was.
Wait, hold up.
Cabo?
What do you mean again? You guys got along at the beginning?
What'd you say?
You got along at the beginning? You said we became friends again.
No. No, sorry. We did not get along in the beginning. We didn't.
Because he sold more houses than you? Is that why you didn't like him?
Because what?
He sold more houses than you?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, was he better than you?
No, it wasn't about that. He just sold a different caliber home than I did.
Wait, hold on. Time out. Because now I like to hear this shit. Define caliber difference.
Let's see, if I was to relate it to a fine wine, I would say that I sell 2013 Opus Napa Valley red wine. I would say that he sells a, what is that shit? That costs
Franzia?
Franzia. No, that's a little, no, that's generous.
That's generous!
What?
Oh my.
$2 chuck, yeah.
Oh my.
But he is very good at it.
He sells the screw off tops.
Yeah, he is very good at it, yes.
But
today, I assume he sells the same level.
He's upgraded to Corbel, yes.
Oh my God, not to Opus.
He's still not selling Opus.
Please.
Okay, give me, just because I like numbers, and I'm a numbers person being in the movie business.
Yeah.
Explain to me the highest price home you ever sold.
$40 million.
And when you sold a $40 million home.
Yeah.
For me, like when I made my biggest film of my career, let's say like Irishman or something, it is a big moment for me in my life. Do you celebrate the day you get that listing or celebrate the day you sell it? Is there a big moment or it's just like, oh, business as usual?
I started buying a lot of art when I started doing really well when I was younger. But now I don't really celebrate moments. I don't celebrate moments. Like when I started in the career, that's when I would start treating myself to like, you know,
special moments. So, but a $40 million home, that's like, is there only a very handful of like select handful of buyers? Do you have to go out to a mass? Like, how do you sell a $40 million home? Just curious. Is there, is it just put the sign in the front yard and,
you stick
and
the
they
sign
show
in
up?
The front, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
No,
about
I advertise
this.
at the market. You know, I have a sign on the shopping cart, me holding a lap dog.
I'm just trying to understand, like, being the best of the best in this world, what separates you to be able to sell a $40 million home versus somebody who can't sell a $40 million
home? You know, 1% of us do 99% of the business. So it's not like just, you know, there's 10 of us that do this, and I don't know.
I didn't know that.
That's, I mean, look, I've had up upper hand. Like, I grew up here, so that helped, right? But I also, a lot of people think I just had an upper hand and I didn't do anything else. But there's a lot of people I grew up with that went to school that like do nothing these days, right?
No, that's very true.
So you have to do something with it. I have an innate knowledge about real estate that most people don't even care about half the stuff that I know, right? But it translates when I'm on a listing appointment or when I'm with somebody and they want to know about real estate and they ask me about it. And like, they're just like blown away with the shit that I know, which half of it is useless information, but they know I know my stuff.
Right.
You know, I have to say, when I decided to be a normal person for 5 seconds and I moved back to Utah, I decided that I wanted to get my real estate license and I was so fucking bored. I was like, I cannot do this. How am I supposed to care about any of this? So the fact that you are as successful as you are and you know all the shit, that's pretty incredible, right?
I don't know if it's incredible. It's just what I know. Like, you know, I don't have a lot of talents. I'm good at certain things, right? I'm like an idiot savant, but maybe just more of an idiot. You know, I know like what I know well, and the other stuff I can't even screw my
life. Did you always understand that? With movies, I always tell you, I don't know anything else. Yeah. I just know what I know.
I know my
shit, but
the real
estate classes were hard.
They were?
Like, yes.
I failed
the first
time.
It was a lot of information that I just could not, I just couldn't grasp it. So at what point were you always interested in real estate? Like, what made you choose that?
When I was a kid, my sister was really close friends with Fred Savage from the Wonder Years. And so
Fred Savage is a huge pickleball player, by the way.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Shows up at tournaments, the whole
thing.
Really? Yep.
Next time you see him.
Yeah. And go ahead.
So when I was a kid, so I went to Brentwood School and my sister went to Brentwood. And I remember when I was a kid, Fred told me, you know, you got to be an agent when you get older, like not like William Morris kind of agent, not like a, you know, Endeavor, not like a real estate agent. I was like, this is a great idea, right? Okay, so I'm going to be an agent. So I'm telling everybody for 10 years, I'm going to be an agent. Okay, right now I'm like 15 years old or whatever. I still want to be an agent. So my uncle was a pretty big upper guy at William Morris at the time before it was William Morris Endeavor. And so he goes, well, if you want to be an agent.
Who?
Don DeMesquita. He was originally at Columbia. And
okay.
TriStar, and
then this
he went
great.
To. Yeah. And so then he goes, well, you got to start reading Variety. Okay. I go, this is fantastic. So mom and dad gave me a subscription to Variety. So first Variety comes, the second Variety comes. There's like a stack of Varieties that's, like 40 varieties in a row. I haven't opened them, collecting cobwebs. And my mom goes, what the fuck? Are you going to be an agent? You don't even want to open. You don't care about this shit. You're not going to be an agent. So we canceled that dream. She crushed my dreams. And then I thought I would become an architect. Well, then I realized I didn't want to like build houses for other people. I just wanted to do that kind of stuff for myself. And so I thought to myself, what can I do? I love design. I love people. Put two together, design, houses, people. You get a real estate agent. And so that was that.
That's great.
That was that.
That's great.
That was that.
So you became one at 18.
I became a real estate agent at 18.
And you failed. And you failed the test. You failed the test.
The first time.
Radon gas gets you every time. That was the question.
Wow.
What is it?
Radon gas. Exactly. You don't need to know about it. Exactly.
Okay, what was the first check you got from your first home that you were like, okay,
property on the corner of Alpine and Sunset. It was very famous. The check or like?
No, how much was the house for sale? What was the check for?
Well, at the time it was $6 million, but keep in mind at the time $6 million was the equivalent of like a $20 million sale.
Holy shit.
It was a very famous, it was a lime green painted house that was burned down in the '80s, was owned by a sheik, and it had pubic hair on the statues. You know about this? It was really famous.
No.
The sheik's property. Intentional pubic hair on the statues?
Yeah, a sheik bought the property. It was a very famous old house. He painted it lime green and put naked statues all around the property and painted them all green and put like hair all over it was like a whole thing. It was a big deal in Beverly. It was called the Sheik's property. It's world famous.
Okay.
If you look at the Steve Martin movie, it was filmed there. The one with it was called the whatever. It was a very famous movie.
Got
whatever.
It.
Anyway, it burned down. The neighbors burnt it down. Anyway, so I sold half of the lot.
Wow.
That was for sale. And because I always believed in like publicity, so the first thing I did was I was still at Beverly Hills High School at the time. So I called up Ruthie Ryan at the LA Times, who was this old woman who's probably dead now, who was basically the hot property person. She wrote all the articles on sales. And I called her and I said, put an article in the paper that says 18-year-old sells Sheik's property. Boom, I was done.
And that was it.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
That is awesome.
And what did you do with your first check?
I bought a Calder.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're like really serious guy.
No, okay. I like my art.
I was going to say, I mean, at
that
age.
And then I started collecting, then I bought another Calder, and then another
guy,
and I started having quite a few Calder.
Yeah. Got it. Your age to do that, that's very smart.
Yeah, it was kind of weird at like 19 having a Calder. like, what the fuck?
But you came from a pretty incredible family.
Yeah.
That, remind me, Edith, she was in fashion.
Yeah.
Your grandmother.
Yeah.
So you probably grew up very differently than most people. You saw like things like artwork. You know, I didn't see those things growing up in Utah.
Well, but not necessarily, because I grew up, like all the kids I grew up with, I would assume had the ability to see nice things and things like that. I don't think they cared about that kind of stuff. That's the difference.
Right, because at 18, I mean, I grew up in the arts from a young age. I went to performing arts high school. So I learned about art in high school, and then I went to art school for college. So I was lucky, but okay. I mean, I do think a lot of people, I think you're right, at 18 around me didn't give a shit about art. I gave a shit about art because I was around artists my
whole
life.
I just noticed most of my friends that were privileged in
did they know
in
about
high
art?
School, like their families who were buying nice pieces, yeah. They tend to
be aware.
Yes, like okay. Me, I'm fucking going to Z Gallery and buying a picture of a zebra.
Yeah, I would have a heart attack and I would cross on the floor before that would happen.
See, me in college, I was hanging, you know, Keith Haring posters, you know, and Andy Warhol posters.
I bought my first Keith Haring when I was 20. Like, that was, you know.
Yeah, see, that's young. I bought my first Keith Haring and Andy Warhol at 27. But like you, at 27, I'm 50. So at 27, you know, I made $6 or $7 million overnight back then, which would have been like 20.
Yeah.
And I
you were how old? You said?
27, 28.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, but the thing is, I wasn't as disciplined as you. I was living up the life and going out and doing all that stuff.
Buying Ferraris.
Because I didn't.
Well, there's nothing wrong with buying a Ferrari if you buy the right Ferrari.
I always bought it good. I always bought the Ferraris good, and I always sold them good. That's one good thing I was with cars. But I wish I would have bought a shit ton more art.
Well, we all did. I mean, hello, like before COVID. I mean, would you have thought that, you know,
never.
Went up 65 times?
Never, never. I'm going to tell one story. I'm a fanatic with Andy Warhol and Keith Haring specifically.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I when I was 27, when it first made money, I was in New York in college with these posters I used to have on my wall. And I was like, finally, I can afford these artists. And I went to the art gallery, Hamilton, right?
Hamilton Selway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but there's a funny story, and I bought this thing called Annie Mouse. There were four pieces. It was a collaboration between Keith Haring and Andy Warhol, and one of the few that have their signatures and has dollar signs with Mickey Mouse, blah, blah. So I went in, and they had the four pieces, and they're like, we'll sell you all four for like $80,000. And I was like, even though I had all this money, I was like, that's a lot. Back in the day, that's a lot, but I'll take one. Okay. So I bought one for $20.
Well, you split up the set, or they were?
I split up the set.
Oh, I know, Randall.
I know, but hold on. It gets worse. So I end up selling a few years later for whatever reason at 29 or whatever. I just decide I'm going to get rid of this. Yeah. And I sold it for like $60,000 or $70,000. 2 years, 3 years ago, I call up all over the world and I'm trying to find Annie Mouse. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think they're going to be, you know, like 100, 150. They're going the set for $1 million to $1.7 million.
Yeah.
I want to jump off.
You fucked up.
I fucked up.
Yeah.
I fucked up.
Try selling a gull wing before you knew it was going to become a $2 million car.
Oh my God. No. Or an Enzo Ferrari when they used to be $400,000 and now they're $3 million, $3.5 million. Yeah, there's a lot of things I go back. But art is like one thing I've learned. If you just keep it, then you don't ever have to.
Is that your go-to? Like when you get a big check, do you always treat yourself?
No. I don't really do that. Like,
not now. Not now.
I don't do. I'm a compulsive buyer of things at auction.
Okay.
Oh, are you?
Yes. And I've just discovered my friend Candy Spelling is also a compulsive buyer of things at auction. I know this now because at like 3 or 4 in the morning, we will call each other while we're watching Criminal Minds. That's our favorite TV show.
One of my favorite shows. Yeah, especially when they get on the G550 at the end after like
And they do that poem. I don't remember that stupid poem thing at the end though, every time.
When the darkness sets in.
Just show me the fucking blood. I don't want to fucking hear about this shit. Darkness. Shut the fuck up.
I can't. By the way, I'm very close with Randy Spelling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, very close. Since he was 15.
Oh, that's cool.
We're like friends.
Tori and I are very close, and Candy and I are very close.
No, we know you're really close because we see all of your dinner parties on Instagram that Randall and I are never invited to.
We would never.
And I never leave my house, but I would come to your house.
You can come.
I never have FOMO. Never have FOMO.
She goes so
I have FOMO every time I see somebody.
And I love Tori, by the way. Tori was a friend forever. But Randy and I have stayed in touch ever since.
And come to the next one.
And their dad was a big mentor to me. Wrote my first letter of recommendation, how I got my first job in Hollywood.
Really?
The best story ever. So I have the letter framed from Aaron.
How did you know him?
This goes way back. So
did you grow up here?
I did not. I moved here from film school after I graduated film school at 23. And Mark Wahlberg, who is one of my best friends, went and met Aaron Spelling at the house for a job for a TV show.
Right.
And we met Randy.
When he was Marky Mark, or when he was
Marky Mark turning into Mark Wahlberg.
Right. When he's transformed.
Yeah, when he was transitioning.
The transitioning. Yeah.
And he ended up not doing this particular show, but we became friends with Randy. We were playing basketball. And we just kind of all like kind of knew each other. And then I put Randy in a movie, in his first film that he had ever done. And I was the one who called Randy when his dad died. He didn't know. Isn't that crazy?
Oh my God.
He'll tell you that. Yeah. I talk about it. And he's a life coach.
What, Candy called him that? I mean,
he was on a plane coming back from Florida. And
how did you know?
My mother called me and said, I read something that Aaron, I remember these are the days where like technology wasn't as, you know,
right,
fast. And I said, there's no way. And so I text Randy, are you okay? I don't know if this is true or not, blah, blah. And when he landed, he had found out, and
he knew he was passing. I mean,
yeah, but that's how I met Randy initially through Mark, et cetera. And then Aaron just became a mentor. And when I needed a job and I was broke and had no money, Aaron said, this is what you need to do. You need to go to an agency and start there, because that's the center of the universe. Because he knew I wanted to be in the movie business.
Where did you go to, William Morris?
I went to ICM, and he said, go type up a letter. And
have me sign it?
Yes. So the letter says...
How funny that both of you...
That's what I do for all my interns,
by the way.
I'm too lazy to write the fucking letters, so I say, write whatever you want to sign it.
Wait.
Right. This is so... No, yeah. You both got the start to where you ended up with someone telling you, just be an agent. We don't know what that means, but just agent is what you should still, go
and
into.
And I'll tell you, the letter says, because my mother has it framed, it says... Without Randall's creative support on 90210 and Melrose Place,
you probably never even saw the fucking
show. Nothing. I don't know what's going on. And then he signed it.
Yeah,
and
of course
I went,
he did.
And I went to ICM, and Tori was represented there at the time. And Nick Stein,
she still is. Yeah. We have the same agent.
Oh, that's so funny. And so Michael Nick Kagan. Stein, who's at CA now, was there. Nick brought me right in. He's like, great, you're hired. He's like, can you type? I knew nothing. Like, I was like the worst assistant ever at that agency.
That's hysterical.
But anyway, so all that. So there's this whole thing. And I'm utterly grateful, because if Aaron hadn't written that letter, who knew if I would have ever got my first assistant job at ICM and went off to do things I did.
To do the Irishman.
Correct.
Wow.
Another thing. So, and Randy's a life coach who I call.
In Oregon.
Yeah, who I call many times for advice and support, because he's amazing.
Yeah, really, I don't know Randy. I just know his mom, and I know Tori, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the greatest thing ever. So I go over to the penthouse. It's like, we go to dinner, we go to Craig's, and I'm like, you want to play some gin? She's like, yeah. She's a big card player.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Candy's a good card player, by the way.
Wow, a gin rummy.
No. She hadn't played in 30 years, but this shows you how good she is, because she caught on in 1 second. Now, she plays poker.
I play poker.
Oh, she's a big poker player.
But, like, professionally.
You don't want to play with her.
No. I play on TV. I have 46 episodes of Poker After Dark.
Need to film you and Candy playing poker together.
I have better than that. So I'll be in Vegas for the World Series of Poker, which is next month, usually in June, but they moved it because of COVID. How about this? She should come play on one of the episodes on Poker After Dark with
us. Would she do that?
Absolutely.
Would she really? They would love
a reminder to.
I swear to God, they would love to have her.
How about this? How about we first have a first game? Just the two of you at the penthouse. We'll go this week, okay, after dinner, whatever. Okay.
I don't play poker, but can I come and drink Perrier at her?
No, we don't drink Perrier. We drink other things. So what happens is,
you guys can drink whatever you want.
This is the greatest thing.
But if you allow me to drink other things, I'll burn her penthouse down.
No, you don't want her. So, honey, you're not drinking. You drink the Perrier.
So this is the great thing, because she knows how close I am with Tori, and Tori knows that I'm close. Like, we have totally separate relationships, and, you know, they have their issues and whatever, and hopefully that'll get worked out. But it's not as bad as people make it sound.
Right.
It's really not like that. Like, they can call each other and talk on the phone. But anyway, so we go to Craig's, we go upstairs to the penthouse, and I go, I'd really like a glass of wine. She goes, great. So we go to the wine cellar, and I'm immediately thinking, I can't pick a fucking bottle of wine out Candy Spelling's wine cellar.
Oh,
it's going to be like, everything's going to be Chateau Lafite. What the fuck am I going to do? Latour, can you pull up the photo?
Are you? Stop.
So
I can't.
This
should be my.
So we go over
this,
there.
This should be my poker room.
So Candy likes wine, but she's not like a drinker, but, you know, and she whatever.
God.
So she goes, let's go buy something. Yeah, let's go find something. I go, okay. So I go in there. She goes, pick something. And I go, I don't know what the fuck. I can't pick any of this. Everything is Chateau Lafite and Chateau Lafite and Petrus. What the fuck do you want me to do? Right? And so she's like, just pick something. I don't even know what half of the shit is. I bought it for Aaron in the 1980s. Half of it's probably spoiled. So
what?
I'm like,
oh my.
Okay. So she has little tags. Like, you know how you have little tags on your on your wine, so you don't have to pull each one out of the thing. So it's Latour, Petrus, this or whatever. So I go for an earlier, only because, not because I thought it was going to spoil. So I thought, like, let's get something earlier that's like almost on the verge of spoiling, so I don't feel badly.
Right.
So I picked out a Chateau Latour 1981.
Okay, come on.
Right? This is just a casual Sunday, right?
I can't. This is like special occasion for 99% of the world.
For 99% of the world, this is probably a $3,000 bottle of wine.
Correct.
I literally go, I can't drink. She's like, we're going to throw this shit away. It's probably all gone by now, you know? So there we go. It's just me and Katie drinking Chateau Latour on a Sunday night playing gin rummy.
I can't.
You know?
I can't. I definitely.
You're so badass. I want to die and come back as you.
Yeah, I do too.
In the old Spelling Manor, when I was young and broke, you know, Randy and I, you know, when after we did the movie, we used to run around that house and shenanigans in the bowling every day, and our friend Dave Weintraub was there every day. Sure. I mean, Kevin Sands lived with Tori at the time.
Didn't they get married? Wait, no.
No, no, no.
So, no, who was the first? No. Wait. Who was the, was it David Weintraub who did that show?
No.
Who was Sons of Hollywood? Who was on the show?
Sons of Hollywood. It was Sean Stewart.
Sean Stewart.
Randy and Sean, and Dave. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yep. My God. Oh, no.
It was crazy times. And Kevin Sands and Tori lived together down on Wilshire in the Green Building.
Which they own. Candy bought that apartment there.
Right. And by the way, when I was struggling and broke, and I used to go there and go out with Tori and Kevin, I used to dream of like getting a place there. When I first made money, I made an offer on a unit there and I was about to close. And then last minute, I was like, maybe I'm overpaying $1,000,001.
You're an idiot.
I know.
My mom's mom used to live in that building. I grew up going to that building.
Really?
Yeah, it's called the Wilshire.
Yeah, the Wilshire.
Not my dad's mom, the one that was on the show. My mom's mom.
It was the only building on Wilshire, babe, that the elevator opened up in the unit before the Remington.
But the greatest thing was this.
And before the other one.
So my mom's mom moved in the building in 1996 when it was brand new. Like it was the brand spanking new building, and that was the hottest thing in town.
Yeah.
And then eventually they sold the place because they went to another building, which is really great also on the corridor where a lot of their friends lived. It's actually a co-op, which is the only co-op in LA. It's really strange. So they went, it was all Hillcrest people, right?
Yeah.
So it's all country. So they moved there, whatever. So 10 years ago, my grandparents' apartment comes on the market for sale. And I go in there, they gutted it and made it this contemporary. There's blow all over the place. Literally, there's rails everywhere. I swear there's like underwear. I was literally thinking to myself, my grandfather wished he was still alive.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Wow.
This is great.
God. Yeah, so we're interconnected in
many ways.
Yeah,
so we're going to do Poker After Dark at the Penthouse. We're going to do it this week. We're gonna,
I love it. She knows. I'm in Vegas almost all of
gin?
October. I don't know how to play gin.
Catch on.
You're a quick learner.
Anything cards.
For Candy's Spelling, he's going to learn how to play fucking gin, all right?
Really? Well,
yeah, yes. You're good.
Is it hard?
No, she's a poker player. I'm the gin player.
She really a poker player? I mean, I'm shocked. I had no idea.
She literally called me the other day and was like, I'm really upset. My partner fucking canceled tonight in the game. Do you know anybody who wants to play with me?
Oh my God. This is like
Do you understand that I fly to Florida for tournaments, Vegas for tournaments. I mean, I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Obsessed.
Like, she's big stakes.
It's poker and pickleball. Randall is obsessed.
I mean, we start the World Series
of
poker.
I allow Randall to go play poker because I take 10% of his winnings.
That is true.
That is true. By the way, maybe, you know, this is what I've assumed. She has not said I play big, but I listen to the way she talks about
But you know what I love about poker? I'm a purist of poker, so I'll play any stakes. But what I love is somebody that loves poker.
We'll be right back.
Did you know today is a great day to warranty? Well, actually, every day is a great day when you're not worrying about your appliances and home systems. And that's what you get with American Home Shield Warranty. I signed up with American Home Shield the moment I decided to buy my house. With an American Home Shield warranty, unexpected breakdowns like a leaky faucet or faulty water heater won't break the bank because covered repairs and replacements are taken care of just like that. And not by me, my mom, or Easton. We wouldn't know the first thing to do if something stopped working in this house. I just contact American Home Shield when a covered item breaks and their trusted and qualified pros will fix or replace it based on the coverage limits in your agreement. So having that sort of reassurance from American Home Shield is something to celebrate. When it comes to protecting your appliances and home systems, don't worry, be warranty. Visit ahs.com/gtl today to get 20% off any plan. That's ahs.com/GTL for 20% off any plan. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
We're back with Randall. What's up, dude? And Josh Flagg. And we are going to pivot to things that I understand, which are all things Bravo.
Everything that's not the last 29 minutes.
No, I actually learned a lot. I actually learned a lot in the first segment.
What are you going to take home from today?
That I need to get out and meet more people because I don't know one of the people that you're talking about.
Okay, good.
But I do know all the spellings. So that's
she's
a good
you
thing.
Know what? You did, and by the way, we just went to Miami True Story, and Lala, usually when we go out of town, we'll kind of hunker down and chill. And this trip, she went out three nights in a row, which is so not like her. And she said, I had such a fun time. I want to get out more in LA.
Yes.
So this could be really good.
Socialize, meet people, mingle a bit.
Okay.
With that being said.
Pivot for us. Pivot.
Oh, we've already done the pivot. We've done the pivot.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm coming to one of your dinner parties. All that I care is that Sonia Morgan is there. So I just told your assistant, who's one of my good friends.
We can't afford to have Sonia there anymore. She destroyed everything in our house.
What?
Last time she came, it was $36,000 to fix it.
What?
Oh, yeah.
This is for real?
Literally, she comes for the weekend, it's $36,000.
But what do you, but break it down for us, no pun intended. Break it down for us.
Oh,
what does that
my
mean?
God. Leaves the bathtub on. Wait. You know, the bathtub's on, I mean, all night long, you know.
She forgets to turn it off?
Twice.
Come on.
She flooded your house because of she left the bathtub on?
Yes.
Because she was sleeping?
That was $30,000. I mean, the insurance claim was like $300,000. That was $30,000 out of pocket. Then there was, what was the other thing she did? Oh, the car. Oh, yeah.
What?
One of my 1960 vintage Rolls-Royce convertibles. It was like $30,000. I mean, she left the motor running all night long.
What?
So then the thing like busted. It was horrible. That was a bad one.
Okay.
This was in a 3-day period, by the
what?
Way. Oh, yeah.
Coffee. So Sonia,
oh, the coffee machine. That was nothing. It was like $300. That was easy.
Is Sonia not invited back?
Oh, no. She's invited back.
She is.
Just under supervision. But see, the thing with Sonia is I've been best friends with her for like 15 years.
You know,
the thing is like Sonia's like, I'm going to come for the weekend, right? Okay, well, the weekend turns into 2.5 weeks. You know,
oh, she.
It's all or nothing with Sonia.
Yeah,
wow.
She's all in, black
she's
or white.
All in.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not obsessed with very many people.
You're really Sonia's, obsessed with her?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Beyond.
Sonia and Liza Minnelli are like my two, like,
tops.
Be it.
Oh, yeah,
be
Liza
it.
Minnelli's,
see it for me.
That's a whole other level.
Yeah.
All right, so we. Is Million Dollar Listing airing right now?
Million Dollar Listing is on right now. We're
okay.
On episode 3, I believe, coming this week.
Okay, then I can start watching now because
you can start.
Yes.
Yes.
I can't do the whole thing where you got to wait the whole week to wait for the next episode, so I wait for a few to come out. So what is it like having that Frederick man on? He's pretty fabulous, right?
No.
Really?
No, he is not. He's absolutely not.
Okay,
whatever made you think that?
Because I
what's
watched,
your perception of him?
I watched Million Dollar Listing LA, or I mean New York.
Yeah.
And there was just like the accent and just like the way he looks and walks and the way he puckers his lips. And I'm like, oh God.
No. Yeah. So Frederick is a nice person.
No.
Not nice.
No.
Very successful though.
No. Yeah. Yes.
Very successful.
No, successful. Yes.
Because he has all the developers, right? Is that
correct.
His thing?
Yes.
So he gets the building before it goes to anybody. He takes over the whole building, sells Like, he gets it early. Is that the deal? I'm just trying to understand.
No, there's other people who do. He's just a good publicist. He gets his name out there.
But okay.
There's a lot of very good. Successful people that do this.
Okay.
But he's new to L.A.
Yes.
Why did he come here?
He lives here now?
He lives here now.
Oh, he's yeah. on the L.A. show.
Yes. Sadly. It's his first season.
Yes, unfortunately.
That's why people were like, holy shit. I mean,
all of us are extremely upset with him on the show this season. I mean, he's just what?
I don't understand why.
Why?
Yes, explain.
Well, without giving away storylines, obviously. Wait, we know the drill.
Baby, can I say one thing? When I watch Million Dollar Listing New York...
He's a terrible person.
Oh, okay. That's.
Do we get to see it on the show?
It's coming soon.
Okay, so Frederick, not your favorite. We're going to see on the new season.
This season that's out right now.
You'll see all four of us. Not one person on the show is happy with him this season.
Is he successfully selling here? Was it
no.
a big no?
Absolutely not. And I believe you. This is not like a pity thing or like a yeah. jealousy thing. Like, he's extremely successful
in New York.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I don't want to regurgitate my lunch. Let's talk about something else.
Okay. All right. We're making Moving another on. Quick
pivot.
Yes.
You have a YouTube channel.
Yes, I do have a YouTube channel, but I mean,
Josh would make the greatest late night guest. Like, if Letterman was still on the air, you and Letterman would have just been.
No, but I want to know what you're doing. This is a podcast about our guests.
Yes.
So you have a YouTube channel that you didn't know you had,
which I just
I'm
learned.
Letting you know that you do.
Yes.
You do interviews.
Yes.
And like, what is the vibe of it?
The vibe of it is I just anything I can't do on TV that I would like to do that, you know, would make me cancelable. We try and do a little bit of it on YouTube.
Okay.
Yes. Basically like a podcast. I mean, yeah.
So we don't know. So I do celebrity interviews. I don't do a podcast like per se what we're doing here. What I generally do is I interview celebrity friends of mine and I put it on my Instagram and YouTube and whatnot. But it's a lot more casual and it's not just audio, obviously it's visual. So
right.
I'll have, you know, whatever, like I'll have for people, anyone from like Paula Abdul to Charo to Rick Caruso.
Oh, wow.
To
oh my
like,
God.
Just oh, wow.
Total, but my yeah. friend spectrum is like all over the place, yeah. you know?
I like that.
Or Candy Spell, whatever, like people yeah. like that. And then I just, you know, I just shoot the shit with my friends in my living room and I film it and that's it.
Okay.
That's it. It's very casual. It's not scripted.
No, it sounds
There's
cool.
no like, I don't even have a set of questions on it.
You just wing it.
We just wing it.
Okay. I love that. It's kind of like what we do on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's not really a format. You just kind of say, like, I just want to talk to my friend.
That's all it is. It's just me just wanting to talk to my friends, and I have a guy filming it.
Okay. Do you ever get nervous when you're on your show that behavior that you display is going to risk clients coming to you and being like, I want you to sell my house, or I'm trying to buy a house, or do you just say, fuck it?
No, I'm pretty good at censoring myself. No.
Really?
No.
Okay.
Shocking, right? No, I'm pretty good at censoring myself on TV.
Right. I mean, being.
No, I've never really had a problem where I've like, you know, had a client on the show or a house or whatever. And people got really upset.
I have a question. Have you ever been in a moment where, okay, the process of like bringing a client onto the show, you go to the client, you say, hey, look, I'm going to be selling your house. It's going to help. It's going to be a good look for
yeah.
you. Will you appear on the show? And I'm sure a lot of people want to be on the show. They want to be
yeah.
on the listing. Has there been a moment where that client became a real nightmare? And I don't need to know the exact client, but did it ever go so bad? Was there ever something so bad, gnarly, why the cameras are there and there's nothing you can do about it? Like, what's one of those moments?
I mean, we have some crazy fucks on our, you know, I mean, we have some, generally the ones that, you know, are on the show are actually more normal than the ones that are not on the show, mostly because those people that we do not have on the show know that they're insane and would not want to put themselves
right.
in
oh, that's a good
situation.
Point. Good
yes.
point.
So the ones that are on the show are a little bit more aware that, you know, they are being filmed and
yeah.
and are a little bit more on their best behavior. Most yeah. of my clients are insane.
Right, and they know they're insane. They don't want to be filmed. They don't want... Like, I always wonder that because it's almost like Below Deck. I don't know if you watch it. Huh? But I'm like, the second these people, these like normal people sign on to go on this boat, like the people a part of the show can just talk mad shit on them and like really embarrass them. So I wonder if someone comes to you and says, help me sell my house or whatever, if they're like, I could be spoken about in a very ill way when I'm not on camera.
You have to be aware of yourself and be aware of the surroundings. You have to know that shit could go either way.
Well, you are, but some normie who's like, sure, I guess I'll be on the show so you can sell my house.
You're probably not going to be on the show because you're not...
insane.
You're just not going to be interested in television. Yeah. Like we only choose our best... It's not like, you know, when we film, like... Look, if I have 100 deals and I can only cover 10, I'm only going to cover the 10 most interesting people, right?
Right.
Right.
So, you know, those people have to be aware ahead of time that, you know.
But, babe, you're saying, like, on Below Deck, these people come on and they think they're going to be on a show and it's fun. They don't realize that.
They don't realize the whole staff is talking shit on them the entire time. Like, you could be like, this client of mine is such a fucking asshole and he's being stingy.
But the only difference,
move on the number.
But the only, I agree with you. The only difference in Below Deck versus this show is Below Deck, they're on a vacation. His show, they're trying to make money and they need him.
The stakes are much higher.
The stakes are way higher. He's selling a $10 million house.
It's a little different.
Yeah. On Below Deck, I agree. When they come on that show, they really are setting themselves up to just be, you know, taken out because there's 10 crew who are being like, that they want some dirty martini at, you know, 6 in the morning. Yeah, they just go
you're
off.
Setting yourself up. I know people that have been on that show. You're setting yourself up for failure.
It's like mortifying.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's mortifying. I mean, it's good TV.
It is good TV.
Well, unless you're the one that's now watching the episode so excited to see yourself, you know, vacation on Below Deck and then they're just dragging you the whole time.
But my thing is this. You have to be somewhat self-aware. If you sign up for Below Deck and you go on the vacation on the boat with 10 cameras, you got to know that they're looking to find whatever your thing is to exploit. Like the entertainment value. Like you can't go on a vacation on a yacht with 10 cameras or 8 cameras and think that you're just going to be smooth sailing.
By the way, I get seasick, so I couldn't go on the vacation, period. Like, I love boating. Oh, man, I'm not a boat person.
Really?
It's not even the season. Like, after a point, like, I've been on boats, and I'm just like, if it's like day 2, day 3, I'm like, fucking bored. Get me the fuck off this boat.
I like to be in port. I like to be in port a lot. Go out for the day and come back. And we did a boat trip in the Bahamas. We'd park in Atlantis every night so we could go.
That's because Randall doesn't like being stuck in one place. He's like a chaotic being.
I gotta move.
I want you to put me on a boat in the middle of nowhere for 2 weeks. I don't want my cell phone to work. I don't want to see anybody.
No.
Sounds like a horrible, like the Tom Hanks movie with the, like,
Castaway. Castaway.
Horrendous.
No. Listen, I do it like this. I go out in the ocean for the day, water ski, scuba dive, do all that. Come back. No booze at Atlantis, the casino. Yeah. And then guess what? You stumble back to the boat. You sleep that night on the boat right there on the dock. Then we can go back out for the day, come back. I don't like to be stuck.
I don't even want to sleep on the boat. I honestly, I want to sleep at Hotel du Cap. Get the fuck out of this.
That's our favorite
attraction.
Yeah.
I do not want to be on this thing. It makes me, I'm not down with it. For the day.
We love du Cap. We love du Cap too.
We go there for a month every summer. It's our favorite place.
Wow.
That's our second home.
I like to jump off the thing and the little thing.
Every summer.
Thing. Yeah.
A whole month every summer.
Hey, let's make a commitment.
Let's make a commitment to travel with the Flags.
Let's make a commitment that next summer we're going to spend 2 weeks there.
Okay.
We're there every Bastille Day. We're there from July 1st to August 1st or something. This year we were only there for 2 weeks, but we're
and the kids are at sleepaway camp. Then we can take Ocean and it'll be
sleepaway camp in France.
No. My kids go to sleepaway camp in North Carolina, but our youngest one now. I mean, our baby together. We can take her to. To do cap
with
it's
a
the
nanny.
Best place ever.
Oh yeah, because Lauren
and Michael Bostick looked like they were having
there,
yes, yeah. And it looked fabulous. And then I learned that Instagram is definitely a lie because it looked fabulous on the gram. And they were like, it was a trip, not a vacation. It was a nightmare. We didn't take a nanny. We were there for 2 weeks.
They said they'll never do it again. But I said I've never traveled without the nanny. You need the support.
Right.
They didn't enjoy themselves as much.
How do you feel about kids?
Look at the face. Look
a lot of people at DuCap. There's a lot of actually people with podcasts. DuCap's becoming cool again.
Yeah.
Was it ever not?
It became very old.
Yeah, but I feel like old is like very like
so classy.
Old money.
Like, do you stay Eden Rock or DuCap building?
No, I stay at DuCap. I'm not spending $10,000 a night for a room.
I love main building.
Yeah.
I love the main building.
I stay in the shot. We stay in the Du Fontaine. That's what it's called.
Is it just me, though, or does the food kind of suck?
No, it's delicious.
Oh, it is?
Oh, I love
the tomato
there.
Soup. You love the tomato soup, too.
I like the vichyssoise. That's my favorite soup there.
We love the tomato soup. We bonded over the tomato soup a long time ago. But you were drinking a lot back then, so we have to come back sober.
The tomato soup.
You drank, you know.
Yeah,
you,
that's true. You drank I was that drinking whole all my meals.
That's not. It's not a good. She has to go back now.
When did we? When did we quit?
Three years ago. Three years ago.
It was like.
It's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Very proud of her. But we need to go back where she's sober because I think she'll enjoy
but
it.
But people that are normies, I encourage the drinking. You walk in my house, would you like a cocktail?
Would
a
you like shots? Oh, no, she wants you shit-faced.
Yeah.
Shit-faced.
At the beginning, I was like, will I be interesting still if I'm not drunk? And come to find out, I'm just as interesting, but everyone else is not. Yes. They need to be drinking.
Yes, I totally understand what you're saying.
She gets me so shit-faced, and then I tell her stop, and then I wake up the next day, and she's like, 9 a.m., let's go, and I'm hungover as shit because she's the one who encouraged all of us to get obliterated.
Are you from Utah originally?
I'm from Salt Lake, yeah.
Because a lot of people I grew up with, they were also total fuck-ups as myself, also went to Utah when their parents got mad at them. They would send them to boot camp there.
Yeah, a lot of...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of
and
like
those that were
rehab
luckier
centers.
Went to Stad in Switzerland.
The luckier ones went to Stad.
Yes. Huh. Oh my God.
Smokey, I updo in Stad.
Yes.
Sonia Morgan.
Yes.
Wow.
I know all about that Bravo life.
You too, baby.
I'm a part of the cult.
Yeah.
I'm doing your YouTube channel interview.
I'm excited.
Are you?
I'm excited because I'm going to interview you.
I think the two of you together will be really good. Him interviewing you, I think, will be good.
I'm a little nervous.
No, don't
now
be
that
nervous.
I'm face to face with
no, you're
you,
you're so easy to deal with. You're just funny as
don't
fuck.
Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous.
No, I'm very. I'm
nervous when you listen to it on air. Don't. Seriously, I won't do that to you. No, I won't do that to you.
Yeah, I like my job.
Yeah, don't. I don't want to do that to you.
Okay.
Hi, Lala and Randall. I absolutely love you guys. I really can't say enough. Randall, you are so funny with Lala, and you guys just have the best. Dynamic. Love you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much, my loves, to everyone who has already called in to leave us messages. Please keep them coming because we love hearing from you. Call us anytime at 866-LALAPOD. That is 866-LALAPOD. I mother effing love you.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.